It's Tuesday, October 2nd, 2012. We have classic broadcast number 398 from our collection, entitled Malathion Number 1, originally aired back on July 18th, 1994. If you'd like to contact us, please contact HOT, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona, 85925, or email us, hourofthetime@hotmail.com.
Light hour of the hour. It is the hour of the time. Light out for the perfume of your body, soul, and mind.
You're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. The Hour of the Time can be heard by satellite on Galaxy 3, Channel 17, 5.8 audio wideband. And on WWCR, Worldwide Christian Radio, 5.810 on your shortwave dial in every country and every city on this earth. This is the last bastion of free speech left in media. And if you don't believe that, ladies and gentlemen, you listen to this program over a period of time, go out and prove me wrong, and then ask your local television, radio, and print media why they have not presented this information to you. I think you're going to be shocked at the results of your little poll, and you're going to be shocked with the information that you hear on this broadcast. When my wife Annie and I and little Pooh lived in the state of California, there was an ongoing controversy, actually a minor war raging, between the citizens and the state over the spraying of populated areas, major cities and urban areas, with a pesticide called Malathion. The excuse used for this spraying was to eradicate the Mediterranean fruit fly. Despite the evidence that many people suffered increased effects of chronic allergic reactions, and people experienced allergic reactions that they had never experienced before, people began to have blurred vision and lose the sight of their eyes, headaches, profuse sweating, abdominal cramps, tremors of their extremities, their hands and fingers, nausea. Some people even lost consciousness and became seriously ill after having been sprayed from helicopters by Malathion. It was one of the determining factors, ladies and gentlemen, why Annie and I left California and moved to the state of Arizona, was to get away from this deadly poison. And yes, it is a deadly poison. Now, you're going to hear over the next few nights, as long as it takes, an expose of the real effects of the spraying of urban areas and people, and yes, even food, with what is known as Malathion. And I'm not going to stop until I've given you every bit of material that we have. And if you have material that you think we may not have, send it to us immediately. Fax it to us. The fax number is 602-337-2524. During our broadcast hour, the fax will not be on the line. But the number is 602-337-2524. 2524. Now, don't ever hold back information from us, folks, because you think we might already have it. We don't have everything, regardless of how much information you hear us impart to you over this broadcast night after night, Monday through Friday night at 9 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. If you have information, always send it. Never call to ask if we have it. Just send it. Either fax it or mail it or send it by UPS or however you have to get it here. We thrive on information. 4 years ago when I wrote my book, Behold a Pale Horse, I had done extensive research into what is called the population problem. In Cairo this year, they're going to have a meeting of very important people of all the nations to address overpopulation, ladies and gentlemen, how to control the burgeoning population and the new world order. And I wrote in my book almost a whole chapter on this problem. Part of what I wrote, ladies and gentlemen, concerned the spraying of malathion in populated areas in California, and I'm going to quote from my book from page 173. After quite a few pages in this chapter had already been written, I then wrote this, and I quote, "Many other population controls have been promulgated. The reduction of the world's population to workable levels has been virtually assured. It is only a matter of time. The problem will be to curtail further human reproduction beyond approved levels. To handle that problem, the New World Order will adopt the communist Chinese model of population control. It is the only population control program that has ever worked. The old and infirm have been periodically murdered, and couples are forbidden to have more than one child. Penalties are so severe that families in China with two children are extremely rare. Three-children families are non-existent. A surprising byproduct is that Chinese children as a group are treated better than any other national grouping of children in the world, including the United States. Tobacco fields in the United States have been fertilized with the radioactive tailings from uranium mines, resulting in a tremendous increase in the incidence of lip, mouth, throat, and lung cancer due to low-level radiation. If you do not believe it, just look at the incidence of lung cancer per capita before 1950 and compare it to the lung cancer per capita at the present time. Are those who smoke committing suicide, or are they being systematically murdered? Malathion, a nerve gas developed by the Nazis during World War II to kill people, is being sprayed heavily on population centers in California. The excuse used is that it will kill the Mediterranean fruit fly. The tip-off is that the orchards are not being sprayed, only people. The helicopters come from Evergreen in Arizona, a known government and a suspected Central Intelligence Agency base. The pilots are contract pilots furnished by Evergreen. Evergreen has been named as one of the bases where drugs are flown in from Central America. The city of Pasadena passed a law making it illegal to spray malathion within the city limits. The law was ignored, and the city took no action. When the people of California literally revolted against the spraying of malathion, the governor of California stated that he did not have the power to stop the operation. What higher power is there that could prevent a governor of a state from halting the spraying of an insecticide? A warning was issued to cover up automobiles and belongings because malathion could destroy paint, some plastics, and other property. People, they said, would not be injured. It is a lie. End quote. The battle still rages in California, ladies and gentlemen, and much research has been done. Most of it hidden from the general public. But over the next few episodes of The Hour of the Time, I will reveal to you the truth in the controversy surrounding this dangerous poison. Not many Americans have thought of the United States in terms of biological and chemical warfare, but if one peruses this literature in that vein, it soon becomes evident that the United States is involved heavily through the Pentagon in building up a huge stockpile of chemical and biological warfare. Some of these books I will mention during this broadcast. Could the aerial spraying of Malathion be chemical warfare on its own citizens? I leave it up to you, the listeners, to decide for yourself over the next several nights in this series. Prompting for this series of broadcasts, ladies and gentlemen, was last week, as I prepared to do this broadcast, we heard the sound of a low-flying aircraft that came directly at rooftop level over our broadcasting studios. Carolyn immediately rushed outside to see if she could see what was going on, because, of course, that's illegal. She didn't see anything the first time, but the second time she saw a plane spraying something, obviously, over the city of St. John's, Arizona. At about that time, my eyes began to burn severely the same way that they had burned in California when we were sprayed with Malathion in the city of Fullerton. I went to the bathroom and washed my face and rinsed out my eyes, and then I could smell the heavy scent of that familiar poison, Malathion, and I became enraged. Enraged. Extremely angry. I called a friend who expressed surprise because he didn't know this was happening, and then just a few minutes later, as the plane flew over his restaurant, he became ill, and other residents also reported illness, itching, rashes on their skin, small, what appeared to be blisters that developed into sores, difficulty breathing, nausea. Carolyn contacted the airport and told her that they were spraying Cytheon. Cytheon, not Malathion. We quickly looked it up and found out that Cytheon is Malathion by another name. Malathion is usually known as being mixed with kerosene. Cytheon is not. It's mixed with water, but its chemical properties are exactly the same. One of the chemicals that can be found in Malathion is, well, I'll get to that a little bit later. You're going to find that this is a deadly poison, ladies and gentlemen, originally developed as a nerve agent to be used by the Germans in World War II. Eventually, in a diluted form, was found to be effective against some types of flying insects, notably mosquitoes and others, and has been used probably by many of you in your own gardens, on your own vegetables, and your lawns, and around your home, and by many cities throughout this country as a mosquito control agent. The other night, there was a city council meeting where council members and the mayor attended, of course. And they were asked why this was being done and how did they account for people suffering adverse effects? How did they warn people beforehand so that they could vacate their homes in the city where they live if they suffered these adverse effects? The answer for why they did it is that they've been doing it for 20 years. Therefore, it must be okay. One of the stupidest answers that I have ever heard in my entire life. It was stated that there was a list. Anyone who could put their name on the list to be called before the city would be sprayed. I ask you, what good does it do to be called before you're going to be sprayed with a poison except to alert you that you're going to get sick? Or to tell you that because some irresponsible persons have decided to spray you and possibly make you sick, that you have to vacate your home in the city where you live in order to save yourself from this, but you cannot. You see, because what is sprayed eventually reaches the ground. It hangs on to buildings and to grass and to ground and to dirt and to filters. And in your gardens and on your food. And if you're sitting in a restaurant when it's being sprayed, you eat part of it. Unknowingly, probably, but you do. And it eventually works its way down into the groundwater and you drink it, whether you know it or not. The city furnished us with a booklet put out by the manufacturer of Malathion and Cytheon. The company is called Cyanamid Agricultural Division. This booklet was printed by Cyanamid Agricultural Division, VPC Ventures, Wayne, New Jersey, 07470. I'm going to tell you what the company says about it. The corporation Cyanamid. It says, Malathion, a record of success. Malathion safely used. Malathion has been used safely, both in local community mosquito control programs and in major eradication efforts under the direction of various state and regional public health agencies. For example, in 1971, following Hurricane Beulah, over 12.5 million acres of the Texas-Louisiana Gulf Coast were treated with Malathion, without any known harm either to humans, wildlife, or the environment. Now remember, this is what the company says. This is the car salesman trying to sell you a new Buick, ladies and gentlemen. And this is what the salesman is telling you. In the fall of 1980, the state of Michigan responded to an outbreak of eastern equine encephalitis with the aerial application of Malathion over 194,560 acres, 304 square miles. The Department of Natural Resources monitored the affected area for environmental damage and water residues. They did gross observations, sampled benthic macroinvertebrates, fish, turtles, frogs, and collected grab water samples. The results of their observations at 112 sites were as follows. No dead fish, no dead animals, frogs, turtles, etc. Many live terrestrial insects, many live aquatic insects, mature and immature. Benthic macroinvertebrates were sampled at 5 sites before and after spraying with the following results. No impact detected. All life forms present before the spraying were present after the spraying in similar abundance and size. Numerous healthy fish were observed on both days. At 4 non-sprayed sites, there were no differences between the 2 sample days. More recently, Malathion was used extensively in California to combat the medfly. Between July 14, 1981 and August 12, 1982, aircraft dispensed 192,349 gallons of 91% technical grade Malathion over 10,624,869 acres in 10 California counties. What they don't tell you is they only sprayed the population. Intense environmental monitoring during the medfly eradication program and follow-up human health studies afterward revealed. Air. Gas phase levels never exceeded 1 UG per cubic meter. Malathion and 0.1 UG per cubic meter. Malaoxin. Well within the parts per trillion range. That's a very clever bit of wording, as you will see later when we read the real effects of malathion. Water. Concentrations were related to mass fallout deposition and averaged less than 10 parts per billion. Bioaccumulation. Malathion and malaoxin levels did not accumulate in the air, water, or on exposed surfaces during the 6-week spray period. Peak levels associated with individual sprays always degraded to background concentrations, which remained constant throughout the 6-spray period. Short-term health effects. Listen to this. No documented cases of pesticide poisoning. No increase in incidence or reporting of respiratory irritant-related illness. No organophosphate symptoms detected in interviews conducted after the aerial application with 238 adults living in the spray area. Long-term health effects. No evidence that malathion aerial application influenced pregnancy outcomes. No biologically plausible relationship between malathion exposure and the occurrence of birth defects and or low birth weights. Health concerns. Acute toxicity, low risk. Malathion is among the least toxic organophosphate pesticides, with an oral LD50 in rats of 1,370 milligrams per kilogram body weight. Malathion falls into one of the Environmental Protection Agency's or EPA's lowest rankings, moderately toxic. Did you hear what I said, ladies and gentlemen? Moderately toxic. It is slightly less toxic than caffeine and far less toxic than most other synthetic pest control alternatives. For example, methyl parathion is 200 times more toxic dermally and nailed. Registered for use in mosquito control is 5 times as toxic dermally. Guthion, registered for use in boll weevil control, is at least 27 times more toxic orally, and Trothion, used in malaria control programs, is 3 times more toxic than malathion. Now I'm going to go back to the beginning of this sentence and read you what they said about parathion, for this is the one that I almost told you before and backed off until the present. Quote, for example, methyl parathion is 200 times more toxic dermally. Parathion, ladies and gentlemen, is one of the chemicals that can be found in malathion. They don't tell you that, but they use it conveniently for a comparison. They go on. The MedFly Health Advisory Committee, MHAC, report to the governor April 15, 1982, states, the primary concern of the public and the committee was the health risk from malathion among the pesticides available for use. More is known about the toxicity of malathion than of the others, and a great deal is known about the toxicity of malathion. Manufactured and packaged in the United States and several other countries and distributed worldwide for more than 30 years, it has a favorable record of success in eliminating insects and in avoiding poisonings of man and other warm-blooded animals. Warm-blooded animals have an enzyme that destroys malathion. Insects do not. It goes on to say that malathion has a unique pattern of selective toxicity when used at the recommended dosage levels. Malathion kills the target insect without harming mammalian life. However, as with any chemical compound, dosage is extremely important, and exposure levels must be carefully controlled. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand that most of what you just heard is what the company wants you to believe. Because the company is in the business of manufacturing and selling malathion. just as you will seldom, if ever, get the truth from a car dealer about a particular automobile that you are inquiring about, because if he fails to make a sale, he loses several hundred or several thousand dollars in commissions, is the same reason why you should never believe a salesman or a sales brochure for a chemical company when they tell you it's okay to spray it on your food or on your person and it won't hurt you. And there is a long history of lies connected with exactly this type of thing. Don't go away. I'll be right back. And then we're going to get into some nitty-gritty that will make the hair stand up on the back of your neck. The Hour of the Time is brought to you by Swiss America Trading. They specialize in non-confiscatable, non-reportable hard assets. If a serious economic problem were to develop tomorrow, nationwide or worldwide for that matter, where would you stand in relation to the value of what you hold at the present time? There's only one thing in the history of the world, ladies and gentlemen, that has held its value no matter what the state of the economy in any nation, in any part of this world, and that has been precious metals in their different various forms. Swiss America Trading specializes in providing this kind of financial security for you and your family. You have been watching the value of the dollar decline. And over the last over 2 years now that we've been broadcasting on the Hour of the Time, we have told you that this was going to happen. We even predicted an eventual money change, which you are now reading is going to happen in your newspapers. If you'd been listening to this program, you would have known that well over 2 years ago, and could be very well protected by this time. But most of you are not protected at all. In fact, I would venture to say that almost everyone listening to this broadcast either has their wealth in property of various forms, real estate, automobiles, a home, refrigerators, furniture, land, are in paper assets, cash, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, are derivatives. We are headed for an imminent major economic correction. The currency change is designed for this, for it was known and forecast by the elite who are in the know in the financial community and in the Federal Reserve for many years. When this currency change takes place, ladies and gentlemen, it will be a surprise. And the dollar will be intentionally devalued, and you will have X number of days to convert all your cash into the new money before it becomes worthless. Now, that means no matter what you have, you will lose value in the devaluation of a dollar in a currency change. I have never seen in my life anywhere in the world a currency changed without a concurrent devaluation of that currency. Now, you don't have to believe me. You can check that for yourself. The only thing that will maintain its value will be precious metals. Everything else will fall. Now, if you want to take a chance, that's up to you. But I encourage you to look around at those you love or claim to love. And if you cannot tell them that they are protected against just such an event, then you need to do something, and you need to do it now. Call Swiss America Trading. Call them now, ladies and gentlemen. 800-289-2646. Do it now. Listen to the experts there. Ask them what kind of a plan would best suit your situation. 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. Do it now. It'll take a great load, a great weight off your shoulders. And you'll be able to rest a little easier each night. Your children, or is just that something that you mouth because you're supposed to? Do you really care about your own health and the health of your loved ones? Malathion, ladies and gentlemen, is synonymous with diethyl mercaptosuccinate, fester with O-O dimethyl phosphorodithioate, malathon, carbophos 4049, cytheon. The physical form is colorless to light amber liquid. Uses today, insecticide. Exposure is by inhalation, skin absorption, and ingestion. Toxicology. Malathion is an anti-cholinesterase agent, but it is of a relatively low order of toxicity in comparison with other organophosphates. Remember that it is an organophosphate. Signs and symptoms of intoxication by anticholinesterase agents are caused by the inactivation of the enzyme cholinesterase, which results in the accumulation of acetylcholine at synapses in the nervous system, skeletal and smooth muscle, and secretory glands. After inhalation of extremely high concentrations of malathion, ocular and respiratory effects may appear simultaneously. That means, ladies and gentlemen, blurred vision or difficulty with sight and difficulty breathing. These effects include tightness in the chest, wheezing, laryngeal spasms, and excessive salivation. Peripheral effects include excessive sweating, muscular fasciculations, and weakness. Effects on the central nervous system include giddiness, confusion, ataxia, slurred speech, and convulsions. After ingestion, anorexia, nausea, vomiting, abdominal cramps, and diarrhea also appear. Notice they don't say that it may appear. They say also appear. Are you beginning to understand now that the company lied in its literature? People have experienced these effects, have reported them, they have been diagnosed, and it is a part of the medical literature. It is a dangerous poison. Malathion itself has only a slight direct inhibitory action on cholinesterase, but one of its metabolites, malaoxin, is an active inhibitor. Both malathion and malaoxin are rapidly detoxified by esterases in the liver and other organs. This rapid metabolism is the apparent reason for the lower toxicity of malathion in comparison with other organophosphates. Malaoxin inactivates cholinesterase by phosphorylation of the active site of the enzyme to form the dimethyl phosphoryl enzyme. Over the following 24 to 48 hours, there is a process called aging of conversion to the monomethylphosphoryl enzyme. Aging is of clinical interest in the treatment of poisoning because cholinesterase reactivators such as pralidoxime, 2-PAM, protopam, chloride are ineffective after aging has occurred. The relative safety of malathion to humans has been repeatedly demonstrated in a group of workers with average exposure of 3.3 milligrams per cubic meter for 5 hours, maximum of 56 milligram per cubic meter. The cholinesterase levels in the blood were not significantly lowered, and no one exhibited signs of cholinesterase inhibition. What this means, ladies and gentlemen, if you are absolutely perfectly healthy and you are exposed to less than the exposures that they are given here, that your liver is able to break down the toxin. But first it has to get to your liver. And during the transport to your liver, it can give you side effects that are not very nice at all. However, like alcohol, if you only absorb in a very healthy body one shot of alcohol per hour, your liver can handle that and take it out. where you get into trouble, ladies and gentlemen, with malathion, alcohol, or any other poison, is if you are not in absolutely 100% excellent physical condition. If you have any problem with your liver, if you are a diabetic, if you have the accompanying problems that go with old age, if you are an infant or a child who has chronic health problems, you're in grave danger when exposed to these toxic chemicals. Listen to this. Almost all reports of fatalities from malathion have involved ingestion. Non-lethal intoxication has occurred in agricultural workers, but has usually been the result of gross exposures with concomitant skin absorption. In other words, they were sprayed just as we were sprayed the other night right here in St. John's, Arizona. People could feel the droplets on their skin. And when it was absorbed into their skin over a relatively short period of time, they become ill. The TLV was set at a level to prevent eye irritation and central nervous system effects. Malathion has caused skin sensitization and dermatitis may occur under conditions of heavy field use. The TLV was set at a level to prevent eye irritation and central nervous system effects. You see, this was originally developed as a nerve agent to be used during war. Diagnosis, signs, and symptoms include miosis, aching in and behind the eyes, the exact symptoms that I experienced right after the second pass of this aircraft. Blurring of distant vision, tearing, rhinorrhea, frontal headache, tightness in the chest, wheezing, laryngeal spasm, excessive salivation, excessive sweating, muscular fasciculations, weakness, giddiness, confusion, ataxia, slurred speech, convulsions, anorexia, nausea, vomiting, abdominal cramps, diarrhea, skin and eye irritation from direct contact. You know what direct contact means? The droplets in the air contact your skin. These are the symptoms that several people here in St. John experienced after being sprayed. Now, don't take this for the reference. This is Chemical Hazards of the Workplace, by the way, by Nick H. Proctor, Ph.D., Manager of Medical Surveillance and Toxicologist, Kaiser Aluminum and Chemical Corporation, Oakland, California, and James P. Hughes, M.D., Medical Director, Kaiser Aluminum and Chemical Corporation, Oakland, California, by J.P. Lippincott Company, Philadelphia. And I've got pages and pages of references from scientific papers here that confirm exactly what I'm telling you. Pesticides. This was written by Wesley E. Straub. Wesley E. Straub. This section deals with a discrete group of chemicals that are of particular importance in agriculture, pest control industries, and public health. Their use in crop production and disease control has increased with the expanding world population, and their complexity and number have increased in proportion to their expanded use. Isn't it strange that the use of these poisons expand in direct proportion to the expanding world population? No attempt is made to present the clinical effects of all pesticides currently in use, nor to delineate definitive treatment. Some aspects of clinical treatment are presented. Do you understand what he's saying here? Particularly where the information is of general application to more than one substance and is not generally available, and treatment must be rapidly instituted. You see, Wesley E. Straub is a medical doctor. Hazardous exposures may occur in both occupational and non-occupational activities. Let me read that again to you. Hazardous exposures may occur in both occupational and non-occupational activities, and the physician should be on notice to consider both aspects of a worker's activities in checking the source of exposure. Yet the company tells you that it's safe, that there's never been any problems, and no humans have ever become ill from exposure to these chemicals. He goes on, in severe poisoning, the initial diagnosis and institution of appropriate treatment must be made on clinical grounds alone, since there is generally insufficient time to wait for confirmatory laboratory results. Do you understand what I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen? He's saying that appropriate treatment must be made on clinical grounds. In other words, the observation of the physician instantly when the patient presents himself for treatment, because there is no time to wait for laboratory tests. How poison is poison? Well, you're going to find out. Because tonight, we're just touching the very tip of the iceberg, and we've got many more hours to go. Essential to the correct diagnosis of pesticide poisoning is a high index of suspicion on the part of the physician based on, one, a history of opportunity for any adequate exposure compatible with time-dose relationships, two, clinical manifestations, and three, laboratory confirmation. The toxic dose and clinical picture of poisoning vary with the compound and formulation and possibly with the individual. For purposes of the following discussion, the pesticides are grouped according to their chemical nature or use as, and listen to this, remember I told you to remember this, as organophosphates, carbamates, chlorinated hydrocarbons, bipyridyls, coumarins, and indandiones, rodenticides, fungicides, herbicides, fumigants, and miscellaneous insecticides. The first group we will read from, and the only group we will read from in this study, is the one that we're directly concerned with right now, and that is the organophosphates, which include abate, DDVP, or what's known as Vapona, diazinone, dicathone, dimethoate, also known as Saigon, Dursban, EPN, Ethione, Fenthione, and also known as Batex, Gardona, Malathion, Nalid, also known as Dibrome, and Parathion. The organophosphate insecticides are characterized by the similarity of their mechanism of toxic action. They differ widely, however, in inherent toxicity and to some extent in rate of absorption and excretion. The company said it was not toxic. So do the city fathers of St. John's, Arizona and Springerville. And probably Eager also. The organophosphates act as irreversible inhibitors of the enzyme cholinesterase, thereby allowing the accumulation of acetylcholine at nerve endings. They are rapidly absorbed into the body by ingestion through the intact skin. Absorbed through the intact skin, including the eye. Even more efficiently through cuts, abrasions, areas of dermatitis, etc., and by inhalation. Since they spray it in the air, there's no way in the world that you will not receive a dose of this poison if you are in the area being sprayed. Dose and dose interval affect the speed with which the toxic manifestations occur. Onset of symptoms more than 12 hours after the termination of exposure generally excludes the diagnosis of organophosphate poisoning. It must be remembered, however, that continuing exposure may occur from contaminated hair, shoes, and clothing. The following table for parathion lists symptoms which are indicative not only for parathion, but for the other organophosphate exposures. Now remember, the company said no humans had ever been affected by this chemical. Now I'm going to prove to you that that's a lie. This comes out of a book called Occupational Diseases, and I've already given you the author. Signs and symptoms in patients with parathion poisoning as related to levels of cholinesterase activity. Sign or symptom, weakness, total number of patients with signs of symptoms, 47. Headache, 46. Remember, the number is the number of patients with the signs or symptoms of this poisoning. Weakness, 47. Headache, 46. Sweating, 44. Nausea and vomiting, 42. Salivation, 31. Meiosis, 25. Dyspnea, 23. Difficulty in walking, 22. Diarrhea, 21. Muscular fasciculation, 20. Disturbance in speech, 20. Disturbance in consciousness, 19. Abdominal pain, 15. Fever, 15. Bronchopharyngeal secretion, 14. Increased blood pressure, 12. Loss of pupillary reflex, 10. Cramp, 9. Cyanosis, 8. The federal standards for parathion and malathion are 0.1 milligram per cubic meter and 15 milligram per cubic meter, respectively. If you can feel the drops of the spray on your skin, you are so far above these levels that it is absolutely incredible. NIOSH has a recommended limit for parathion of 0.05 milligram per cubic meter and a limit for methylparathion of 0.2 milligram per cubic meter. Now listen to this. Just a mild dose, just a mild organophosphate poisoning causes symptoms of headache, fatigue, dizziness, blurred vision. The same symptoms that I experienced. Excessive sweating, nausea and vomiting, stomach cramps, diarrhea and salivation. These are the symptoms that Tim experienced. These symptoms are similar to those of many diseases not related to pesticide exposure, such as influenza, heat stroke, heat exhaustion, and gastroenteritis. Moderately severe organophosphate poisoning causes all of the symptoms found in mild poisoning, but in addition, the patient is unable to walk, often complains of chest discomfort and tightness, exhibits marked meiosis or constriction of the pupils, and exhibits muscle twitching. These symptoms might be reasonably mistaken for such conditions as pneumonia, myocardial infarction, and encephalitis. Severe organophosphate poisoning may result in rapid onset of unconsciousness, local or generalized seizures, and other manifestations of a cholinergic crisis. Ladies and gentlemen, I have no words to tell you how important it is that you understand that a politician who presides at a meeting of the city council where citizens ask him why he is spraying them with this poison answers, "We've been doing it for 20 years, so it must be okay." This is unconscionable. Cannot be allowed. It is totally irresponsible. It shows a lack of concern, not even for the community, but for his own family. And I, for one, am not going to allow these people to get away with this. We're going to continue this every night. And tapes of this broadcast of each night will be distributed free to the citizens of the communities of Eager, Arizona, Springerville, Arizona, and St. John's, Arizona, at my expense, to anyone who wants a copy. They'll be available here at the Research Center in St. John's at 165 East Commercial Street for anybody who wants to drop by and pick up the tapes. There'll be about a 2-day delay while we make the copies for you to pick up. We hope that you will make copies of the tapes that you pick up from us and distribute them to those that you care about. There's a book called Chemical and Biological Warfare. Chemical and Biological Warfare was edited by Stephen Rose, Beacon Press, and it states this. The United States Army's field manual on the law of land warfare was quietly changed to point out that the United States is not a party to any treaty now in force that prohibits or restricts the use in warfare of toxic or non-toxic gases or chemicals. Our nation had also emerged from World War II with new centers of gas and germ research and production. Biological warfare had come of age during the war years, the perverted stepchild of medical science. Poison gas production facilities had been added to our military machine. These additions were not dismantled after VJ Day. Our men went home, but the military professions, their civilian assistants, and the research and production facilities remained as the nucleus of future growth in the industrial complex. Much of the United States experimentation with nerve gases has taken place at the Army's oldest chemical warfare installation, the sprawling Edgewood Arsenal, some 20 miles northeast of Baltimore. In July of 1969, under prodding by the House Subcommittee on the Environment, headed by Congressman Henry S. Roos, the Army revealed plans for testing 239 gas weapons at Edgewood over a six-month period. In a book entitled Silent Death by Yuri Fyodorov, published by Progress Publishers, Moscow, Russia, 1987, states, "The enormous threat posed by nuclear arms in a way distracted public attention from the existence of huge arsenals of chemical weapons, other means of mass destruction, while scientists and technologists working for the military-industrial complex were developing more sophisticated varieties of these weapons." Way back in 1969, the United Nations Secretary General had this to say in his report. "Advances in chemical and biological science, while contributing to the good of mankind, have also opened up the possibility of exploiting the idea of chemical warfare weapons, some of which could endanger man's future, and the situation will remain threatening so long as a number of states proceed with their development, perfection, production, and stockpiling." Another gentleman, whom I'll reveal to you tomorrow night, said this, "Such agents could be used in the battle to reduce the world's population. Good night." You might want to assess how you've been feeling lately. For these same pesticides cause depression, apathy. God bless you all.